Trust me, it claps. Maybe we can get it. Technology, right? Try one more time. It's not going to collapse this morning, is it? All right, that's fine. So you just have to trust me. Yeah, can you move forward and see where it's at? Yeah. Let's move back a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, let's move the cursor forward, see if you can collapse it that way. Amen. We just leave that picture there. Yeah, bring it forward a little bit. Let me see it collapse right there. Yeah. So anyway, just leave that there for a minute. This video shows a massive structure crashing down on tables and chairs on an empty outdoor setting. Amen. No one was hurt in the incident, but it raised questions about the cause of the collapse. So they begin to wonder in the University of Austin, listen, if this one collapsed, what about all the other ones maybe... we're going to have problems there too. So they begin to send engineers through all the other buildings, especially outside structures, where all the university students would sit under there and study. There may have been hundreds and thousands at that time in that setting. So they're concerned, listen, we don't want anybody to die. So caused more than $1 million in damage once it was decided what happened. Multiple people could have been lost, but thank God they wasn't. But what the problem was, as the engineers sorted all of it out, in the southeast corner of that structure, the nails have gave out. There was nails that were insufficient. They gave out, they collapsed. And when they broke, it put pressure on all the other nails and couldn't hold the weight, so the whole thing come down. In our text, you can take it off. In our text, we're going to read, Paul is reminding the Colossian church, Colossians 2. He's reminding the Colossian church about the nails that had made it possible for us to be right with God. Talked about the nails of Jesus Christ, amen. So I've titled this, The Nails, or Saved by the Nails this morning. Colossians 2, you read with me, we start at verse 14, 11. We'll go to 14. In him, also we were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which we were, or you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with his legal demands that he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking you this morning, God, pour out your spirit. God, speak to every man and woman in this place. God, let your word be clear. God, reveal, God, your spirit, God, to our hearts and lives. God, do not let us leave here, God, without knowing your salvation this morning. God, move and touch every heart, every life, God's people to say. Amen. Saved by the nails this morning. So look at the reality of being lost. You know, the Bible says that we were created in the image of God. How many's read that? Amen. God said we're created in His image. We'll have purpose and inherit dignity, value in us. Amen. Every one of us, inside of us, there's that element of dignity and value that God put in us. Genesis 1:27, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in numbers, fill the earth, and subdue it. So mankind's off to a great start here, has relationship with God, has dignity, value, and purpose in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve have everything they needed, a perfect setting around them. I mean, everything at their disposal they needed. Amen. They had. Life was good. Amen. They ruled the world. Imagine being in a perfect setting. But then Genesis 3 came. We know that Eve is deceived by the serpent. Adam and Eve falls into sin. And like this ceiling at the University of Austin, Texas, everything came crashing down. Everything that they knew of God, everything that the purity, the righteousness, the relationship, all that came crashing down the moment's time. Their sin brought them into judgment. They are driven out of the garden. And in Romans 5, Paul says that this one sin made all of us sinners. Verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many knows we're all sinners? Amen. We don't have to teach kids how to be bad. We got to teach them how to be good, right? Amen. I remember my kids growing up, I mean, several times, no, don't do that. Stop that. Quit it. Amen. Because naturally, it's in them. Amen. We're born sinners. And as we grow, amen, as you know, amen, we begin to do wrong things, bad things. It begins to build up in us. And it may begin to accumulate over time. Sins like yeast, it permeates. It consumes, it fills your life with shame, guilt, and righteousness. It takes away your purity, and it separates us from God. I remember at 19 years old, my life was, I mean, came crashing down. I was newly married. I got married at 18. My wife was 17. We had a baby on the way while we got married. And but we were separated. I was heading to prison. At 19 years old, my life came crashing down. And it hit me for the first time, man. Look the mess I've made. The mess I've made in my life. And thank God somebody witnessed to me. And God saved me. And I stood before the judge. And the judge dismissed the charges. And I was able to get back my wife and was able to live for God. But the point is this morning, amen, sin destroys. Verse 13 of our text, and being dead in your trespasses. Trespasses are your deliberate violations of a divine boundary, commands, or moral law. Amen. We may not knowing it, we probably didn't, these are God's laws, let me break them. No, but naturally, as sinners, we just begin to break them. We were transgressors, we transpassed. Amen. Sin is all about pleasing the flesh and the world, not the will of God. Sin makes us enemies of God. Romans 8, 7. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it cannot submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So, amen, as sinners in the flesh, we can't please God. You know, as the Bible said, we have a conscience. How many believe that this morning? We got a conscience. What the conscience is, it's the inner compass. It's the inner warning system that acts as a witness that accuses or defends our actions. We've all been there, amen. You're getting ready to touch something, and you're conscious that don't do that, it's hot. Or you're getting ready to steal something. As I said, we're sinners growing up, and our conscience, don't do that, that's not right. Or our conscience will defend us, amen, is created by God and put in us to help us stay on course and do what's right. Our conscience is a gift from God designed to keep us aligned with the will of God. But in Romans or 1 Timothy 4, Paul says our conscience was seared, verse 2, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. If you ever see something that's been seared, I mean, it scars, it shrivels up. And he's given us a picture of sin. Sin has scarred our conscience. That gift that God gave to us, amen, that would keep us right, that would keep us pure, keep us on course, it's been seared by sin. And that's happened to all of us. And being in sin is like being in quicksand. The more you struggle to free yourself, the deeper you sink. And before long, you have this trail of destruction in your path. At 19 years old, I look back on my life, I couldn't believe all the destruction at that point. And maybe that's you this morning. You can look back on your life. Maybe you're not saved this morning, right, with God, and your life is still a mess. And listen, you can't fix it. You can't straighten out. I tried. I tried to quit drinking. I tried to quit doing drugs. I tried to quit being immoral. I couldn't do it. Amen. Because I didn't, you know, I was a sinner. It's what sinners do. Maybe that's your life. You know, when you're living in sin, you turn to worldly things for help. This is why people get involved in drugs and alcohol, immoral relationship, become violent because, listen, they're trying to please the flesh. They're trying to make it up somewhere. But instead of being pleased, amen, their life is filled with hate, shame, unforgiveness. They become addicted. Many get divorced. Brokenness becomes a part of their life because, listen, we can't fix our own problem. It's like this ceiling that comes crashing down one day, whether you're 18, 19, or 50. Amen. Life will come crashing down. And you will realize, listen, I'm in great trouble here. You know, we never planned destruction, but that's just the nature of sin this morning. That's just the nature of what it does. Amen. So the truth is, when we're in sin, we're trusting in the wrong nails. Them nails are going to hold up for so long, but one day, man, whatever that sin might be, the weight of it's going to break everything else. It's going to come crashing down, and you're going to need a Savior this morning. You're going to need somebody that can reconstruct, amen, pick that back up and put your life back together. So let's begin to look secondly at saved by the nails. These nails, we put that picture up, these nails. Amen, that the nails driven in the hands of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross, amen, can save us. Amen, Jesus came to save. Can you say amen? He had the nails, amen, that can hold the weight of sin up, amen. And by him, we can be free and we can be a brand new person this morning. Amen, but these nails on Calvary's cross are both symbolic and public reminders of the price Jesus paid to bear God's wrath and the right humanity's wrong. Amen. Jesus going to the cross. Amen. Imagine the weight of everybody's sin on his life. Everybody's sin, your sin, my sin, the world's sin. Amen. Was upon him. He carried that to the cross. Amen. To bear God's wrath and to right humanity's wrong. If it wasn't for Jesus, none of us could be saved. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwritten of requirement that was against us, which was contrary to us, for he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus not only paid for the writing that was against us, but the Bible said he also took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. He did everything possible, in other words, to make certain that the handwriting requirement that was against us could never come back and accuse us. Amen. The blood of Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. The blood of Jesus, amen, satisfied every sin, everything that we did once we give our life to Jesus. That blood satisfied the wrath of God and brings us back into relationship with Jesus. Aren't you thankful this morning? These nails do three things for us this morning. I want you to listen very carefully. One, they make atonement. Atonement refers to the entire provision of salvation which God made for sinners through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53:5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by stripes we are healed. Amen. Did you see that? It said our transgressions, which are our willful sins. Amen. These are willful sins. How many know we sin willfully? Amen. Once I started sinning, I wanted another drink. I wanted another smoke. I wanted another. Well, it was willful. Nobody had to twist my hand. It was willful sin. That was our transgressions. And our iniquities, which is our deep-seated immorality and perversion of our habitual premeditated state of sin. We planned it. Amen. We planned the parties, didn't we? We planned the immoral lifestyle many times. We planned it. It mounted up against us. And Paul's saying, when you come to Jesus, listen, that willful sin, that iniquity, amen, that Jesus took care of on the cross, he made atonement for that. The chastisement of our peace, his suffering, was substituted for ours. Repairing the broken relationship between God and humanity, what the blood of Jesus did on that cross, amen, God repaired that broken relationship, amen, that impossibility for humanity to get right with God by the blood of Jesus bridged it. Now we can have peace with God. By stripes we're healed, we're restored spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Amen. Healing is provided. We can come. That's why we can come be tormented and out of our mind. We come in, give our life to Jesus. In a moment's time, we have clarity, we have peace of mind. We have some direction because the blood of Jesus. I've seen people be healed. I've been healed, amen, by the blood, by prayer. But that's the atonement that Jesus made available by the blood he shed on the cross. The second thing, the Bible said, the nails propitiate. This word propitiates means to satisfy or appease, to regain favor, to pacify or bring to a peaceful state. The blood of Jesus that's a hard word, isn't it? Romans 3:25, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance or willing sacrifice. God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness that he might be justified and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. Simply by you coming to the cross and putting faith in what Jesus did, I believe what Jesus did on the cross. God, I bow my knee to that. I'm accepting and I believe that. And you put faith in that. It brings peace through the blood of Jesus to your life. Jesus propitiating us, amen, not just for the now, but for eternity. Hebrews 9:12. He entered the holy place once and for all by his own blood, securing eternal redemption for us. Listen, all of our struggles, our difficulties, as we cry out to God, God doesn't see us as sinners anymore. Aren't you thankful? I can go to God. I can pray. Amen. God doesn't look at me as this nasty sinner as I used to be. But now God's looking at me through the blood of Jesus. Thank God because I've been saved. Through the blood of Jesus, he sees me as a righteous man of God that cries out to God. And I can get touched by God. My life can be restored because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, we can't do this on our own. Amen. If you've lived more than a couple years, you know that. Life is bigger than us. We need Jesus. Amen. Third thing these nails do is reconcile. Reconcile means to restore friendly relationship or settle a dispute. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old things have gone. The new is here. This is all from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God has reconciled the world to himself through Christ, not counting people's sin against them, as he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. But I said, we're a brand new creation. Amen. Well, God created us in the beginning in his image to bear his likeness, to live out in that righteous purity of God. Amen. Jesus brings us, reconciles, brings us back to that moment. And we give our life to Jesus. He reconciles us back to God. Amen. That sin has been washed away. Now that right relationship has been restored. Aren't you thankful this morning that we can pray and have relationship with God? And listen, that comes through Jesus Christ this morning. Without Jesus, you can't have a relationship. Romans 5:10, we're reconciled to God through the death of his son. Colossians 1:19, God has made peace through Christ's blood on the cross to reconcile all things to himself. You know, the heavens, the throne room of God, God's very presence is made available to us because the nails reconciled us back to God. Aren't you thankful this morning for Jesus? You know, Jesus could have gave up. Remember, the Bible says he's carrying the cross, and he's about halfway there to Golgotha, and he collapses under the weight. He could have said, it's too heavy. I can't bear the sin any longer. The weight's too much. And he could have rode off and said, God, take me home now. He could have done it. But Jesus went all the way. Remember, Simon helped him pick up the cross and bear it all the rest of the way. But the point is, Jesus didn't give up on us. Amen. You know, the world gives up on us. Jesus doesn't. Look, lastly, life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's no resurrection life without Jesus Christ. If you're living for Jesus, listen to me, you must look like him. If you're living for Jesus, you must look like him, not on the outside, but on the inside. If you're living for God, say, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. How many know your life shows that? You're not on the outside. You know, you're not, hey, yeah, you look just like Jesus. No. But on the inside, amen, we are to look like Jesus. Can you say amen? Because we've been redeemed. We've been restored. We've been brought back in relationship with God. We have the word of God. And now God says, you have my spirit. And I want you to look just like me on the inside. Colossians 2:11. In him, we were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sin of the flesh. By the circumcision of Christ, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So salvation is not just burying the old life, but it's also being raised in a new life by faith in the power of God. Amen. How many know we are to demonstrate, amen, who God is today, amen, how we think, how we act, amen, how we live our life. It is to be reflection of God. God put that in us. Amen. If you're right with God, you come to church, that desire should be there. I want to be like God. I want to think like God. I want to act like him. I want to live like him in righteousness and honor. That's a true Christian. As believers, as redeemed men and women of God, we've been given faith and the power of God to help us to live strong, clean, motivated, and vision-filled, victorious Christian life. Amen. You know, just, when you come up to problems, it's great. You want to believe God, don't you? I mean, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to believe God here. God's going to help us. That's faith, as your pastor said in before we started Revive. God's going to help us this week. That's an act of faith. We're believing God, that God to speak to us this week, God to do powerful things in our life. When we come up against something that's bigger than us, we're going to trust the power of God to move. We can trust in the nails that saved us. We need to develop a mindset that's nothing like this world, but what the Bible says. Colossians 3:1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are from above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I like that scripture. Amen. Our minds, how many know, are to be given to God? Amen. We're to be raised, amen, not just our old body dying, amen, sin, life, dying, but we need to be raised. We need to be believers and Christians representing God now. Romans 12, Paul pleads with the church and says there's only one way to live for God, a surrendered life, a life laid down. He says this in verse 1, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Paul's telling the believers there, I mean, if you do a study on the Romans, man, they were very unclean people, very violent people, unrighteous people. And Paul went and pioneered a church in Rome, And now there's a body of believers, just like in here, that come out of that Roman culture, got saved. And Paul's saying, listen, it's not good enough just being in the house of God. He said, you need to be like Christ on the inside. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Amen. So Paul's telling these believers in Romans, that, listen, I'm glad you're here, but listen, what's the inside look like? What are you on the inside? Amen. Are you living for God? Are you right? Are you clean? Are you doing the thing that God says to do? Verse 2 of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when I got saved, I worked right, well, before I got saved, I worked as a meat cutter. I cut meat for like 8 years, and I worked on an assembly line of about 130 guys. And we all ran together. We all partied, ran the same. We all did what we did. So they knew Larry Friday leaving work as just like them. I was going to go out and get drunk, get high, get immoral. That was my life. And that's how they knew me Friday. Well, I come back Monday. I went to church Sunday, got saved, gave my life to Jesus. I came back to work Monday. They're thinking, they started doing what they always do, you know, talking the way they always talk. And I go, hey, guys, I got saved yesterday. They didn't know what saved was. I barely knew what it was. So I explained to them, well, I gave my life to Jesus, you know, and I'm different now. I don't want to cuss anymore. I don't want to drink. I don't want to talk like that. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live for God. And they're looking at me like this strange look, like, what are you talking about? And I explained it the best way I could, only being saved a couple days, you know. And I said, well, I only know that I bowed my knee at the altar. I gave my life to Jesus. I feel the miracle take place in my life. I no longer want to live like the old Larry lived. I want to live like Jesus wants me to live. And some are laughing, some are mocking, some are wondering what in the world's going on. But you know what? For the next weeks and months, they begin to watch me. And for the next years, they watched my life, and I lived as best I could as a believer, as a Christian. I wasn't cussing with them. I wasn't telling dirty jokes with them. I wasn't running with them. I was being they see me get back my wife. I'm talking about my wife and my daughter now. I'm not talking about other people. And they're watching me. But the amazing thing was, I was there for 8 years. And for the years after that, probably 3 or 4 years after that, probably every one of them 130 men had come to me at some point and just broke down. Said, man, we've seen what God's done in your life. It's unbelievable. We can't believe it. The change that God, we knew you as this. Now you're a totally different man. And I begin to pray with, I prayed with almost, probably most of them, 130. We had many of them in, come to church, live for God. So they're still there today. Many of them living for God in that church. But it's because they seen it. They seen a person really change living for God. They seen what Jesus can do. They didn't see me, you know, I'm like Jesus on the inside. And that's you as well. We bear the old life of sin and trouble that separated us from God. Now we live the new life, right? Amen. We live the life of forgiveness and freedom. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So we're to live a new life with the Spirit of God. How many know the Spirit of God is here to help us? The Spirit of God, I mean, if you want to live for God, the Spirit of God is going to help you, man. He's going to give you the words. He's going to give you the strength. He's going to give you the know-how to operate in every situation. If you want to live for God, you can. I have people tell me sometimes, I'm witnessing to them, I'm talking to them. They say, man, I'd live for God, but I'm afraid I'll backslide. I say, you can't think like that. Hey, man, you got to... I said, listen, because you're a totally different person. When you give your life to Jesus, man, you try to explain the miracle to them. You try to tell them what God can do, what the miracle God can do in their life. But you got to experience. You can't just talk about it, right? And I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is the answer. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, we can trust in the nails that pierced Jesus' hands. They're not going to break. We can trust in the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. And at last, we can trust in the resurrection of Jesus that empowered us to live a victorious Christian life. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, I mean, he defeated every demonic, every sin, every temptation, every assault is defeated by the blood of Jesus. That's why we can use the blood. We pray by the blood of Jesus. We can pray, I'm free. By the blood of Jesus, I've been delivered. I've been set free. But when Jesus rose from the dead, amen, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Amen, he became the firstborn, the Bible says, to go to heaven. And listen, when we die as believers, man, all of us are going to leave this old body of flesh on the ground. Amen, we're going to be resurrected. Amen, a new glorified body. We're going to be in heaven with Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus provided all of that, made a way for us, amen, this morning by his blood, by his resurrection. He freely hands it to you and I. God's a good God, freely gives it to us this morning. Let me ask you, what are you going to do with the blood that Jesus shed on the cross? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to make a decision, Jesus, I'm tired of sin, I'm tired of being a sinner, I'm surrendering my life to you. Because listen, one day your life's going to come crushing down in sin. And it's usually at the worst time, isn't it? At the worst time your life just comes crumbling down. 19 years old, man, my life come crumbling down. But man, I'm telling you, when they told me about Jesus, I grew up as like in a little religious church. We went to church every once in a while, not faithfully. But I knew enough, amen. And when that man started witnessing to me, started telling me, listen, Larry, Jesus didn't want to judge you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He doesn't want your life to fall apart. He wants to save you. He cares about you, loves you. I'm telling you what, man, I ran to the altar. What will you do with the blood that Jesus shed? Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give me a few more minutes here, if you would. It's Sunday morning. I thank God you're here. But there's so much going on this morning. Yes, and if you're living in sin, the devil's going to say, don't listen to that preacher. He's crazy. Just get out of there. Go drink. Go party, whatever you're going to do. But listen, that's the enemy. That's what spoke to Eve in the garden, the serpent. And we know what happened. Eve gives in to that voice. Her life, her husband's life, I mean, just the weight of sin just crushes them, driven out of the garden. There's people here, you know the weight of sin. You feel the effects this morning. Maybe that's you this morning, like me at 19 years old. Mind's tormented, life is just wrecked. Sin come crashing down. Listen, but you don't have to live like that this morning. You can run to the cross, run to Jesus. He's made a way for you to get right this morning. He's made a way for you to be forgiven. If that's you this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Me and your pastor would love to pray with you. See you get right with God. See your sins forgiven. I'm telling you, when you pray, a miracle happens. The Bible says you become born again. Just like a new baby coming out of the womb, totally innocent, pure innocent. That's when we give our life to Jesus, that's how we are now. All of our sins are washed away, the Bible says. And we become this pure, innocent person before God. And that's what you need. That's the starting point this morning. And that's you this morning. You want my prayer, you want your pastor's prayer, very quickly raise your hand. Put it right up. God's dealing with your heart. Put your hand up. Slip it up. Say, I'm unsaved, I'm not right with God, but man, I want to surrender my life. I don't want to live in sin. I don't want my life to just come crashing down, break apart. Jesus, would you save me? Raise your hand very quickly. Put your hand up. See, that's me, Pastor Mitchell, Pastor Jesus. I need a miracle. I need Jesus. Raise your hand very quickly. Okay, let me talk to the church for a few moments. Do you look like Jesus on the inside? Like Paul's pleading with the Roman church. I beseech you, I plead with you. I'm begging you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, live for God right. And maybe you're here this morning and you're being religious, you're playing with sin a little bit. Church look all nice and good, but home, doing things you shouldn't be doing, watching things you shouldn't be watching, doing things, touching things. And God's dealing with you this morning. And maybe some decisions need to be made for righteousness. Listen, the blood of Jesus set us free from all that. Why would we go back to it? We're opening altars here in a moment. What I want you to do at this altar, as we open the altar, I want you to come out of your seat here in a moment and come to the altar and just begin to be real with God. God, help me. Maybe you're struggling with some decisions this morning, struggling with an addiction or maybe something that's just torn. Lay it at the altar this morning. I'll pray for you. Believe God to help you get you past it. Because listen, the blood of Jesus has broken every power, every demonic that can assault our mind. He's given us power to live a victorious Christian life. I want us all to stand this morning. Let's all stand. Help me out. Let's all stand. And we're opening up the altars. I want you to come this morning. Find a place here. Just be real with God. Prayers, words, amen. Speak words. God, help me. God, forgive me. God, deliver me. God, give me strength. God, get me past this. Speak it out. Maybe not loud, but speak it out. At least where you can hear it. God, I'm struggling with this. God, I need a miracle in my life in this area. I need you to help me. We're going to sing a song.
This is the air I breathe.
Oh, God, I pray this morning. God, the grace of God, the power of God, be here. God, touch your people. By the Holy Ghost.
Your holy presence living in me. This is the air.
Oh, God, I pray by the Holy Ghost. God, I pray for my sisters this morning. I pray. God, your hand upon their life. God, help them. I pray, God, your hand be upon their lives. Oh, Lamb of God, in Jesus' name, my sister, I pray for her. God, touch her. God, I bind every demonic assault against her mind, her spirit. God, strengthen her. I pray, God, your hand be upon her life. I pray, my brother, God, touch him this morning. Oh, God, minister, I pray by the Holy Ghost
before you.
Oh, God, I pray my brother, God, touch him this morning. God, your hand upon his life.
And
oh, God, I pray, help him in his mind. Help him right decisions, God. Oh, Lamb of God, in Jesus' mighty name.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe.
Well, let's stand, let's sing it together.
Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread.
Yes.
This is my without you.
give him praise this morning. God, we love you. Help me out, church. Let's give him praise. Oh, God, you're worthy this morning. God, we magnify the name of Jesus Christ. God, we give glory to your name. Hallelujah. God, we give glory to your name. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Sometimes I just wake up in the morning. I woke up this morning early. I just said, God, thank you for the blood, for saving me, changing me. Because we're a mess without Jesus. At 19 years old, I was already successfully messing up my life horribly. And thank God for somebody who told me about Jesus. This witnessing is so important. I mean, when you witness somebody, man, you're offering them a lot. You're offering them once a God that can forgive them for all the sins they've ever done. You're offering them a God that can save them from sin, death, hell, and the grave. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're witnessing. And we don't look at it as that old time, but that's what we're doing. And I remember after I got saved, and I just began to tell my friends at work, man, Jesus changed my life. And they begin to see it. And I'm telling you what, they were hungry for it. They begin to come to church and get right with God. And we turned our break room in. After a while, we had about 8 guys on my job, saved, loved God, filled the Holy Ghost, man. So our breaks, man, we turned them into little sermon times, you know. We've only been saved a long time. We're preaching in there. We're having altar calls up there, man. People are getting saved, getting right with God at our work. But that people are desperate today. They know there's no answers in the world. Marriages are falling apart today. Families are broken up. I mean, today families are they're a mess without Jesus. And we have the answer. And I'll tell you what, if you just tell people about Jesus, I'll tell you, God can do a lot. I want to pray for you here this morning. Why don't you come up here? I'll pray for you. God begins speaking to speak to you about. Sometimes your mind's like a highway sometimes. Things just going through it. And God says, you just need to slow down in your mind. Let him have control of your mind. And so when things come buzzing by, I say, no, I ain't listening. I ain't giving my mind that. Just slow down. And the way my mind used to be like that. So what I used to do is just really read slow in the Bible, just make sure I got it all. Because I used to think, man, I'm going to read 5 chapters a day, boom, boom, get. I remember none of it. So that I thought, well, I'm going to read slow now. And I'm going to read it and reread it if I have to. And I slowed my mind down. I was able to retain. I was able to think about what God spoke to me. And God began to reveal some things to me. And God spoke to me about that with you. Just getting these words, read it slow. Let them really get a hold of your mind. And God's going to begin to use you in a powerful way. As your mind begins to get really wrapped around God, God's going to give you words for people. And you're going to witness to them, man, and they're going to listen. And words are going to be life-changing for them. So it's going to be a fight over it. It's going to be a demonic fight. The devil's going to try to, you know, you ain't got time to read. Put that Bible down. You got to go to the store. You got to buy. You got to cook. Nope. I'm going to spend time slowly reading my Bible today. Okay? Raise your hands. Let me pray for you. Let's pray for our sister. Father, I'm asking you right now, God, your hand be upon my sister. Let these words live in her mind this morning. God, help her, I pray. God, touch her mind, her spirit. God, use her powerfully to do your will, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Amen. I'll pray for you this morning. Amen. So God just... this morning when I'm in the office and you came through, God's beginning to speak to me. You got a good spirit. You got a real sweet spirit, if I can use that word. And God's going to use that. And I'm saying you can't fabricate. You are who you are. And people see you in that way. So just keep being nice. Keep being like people. God's going to use that to collect people in the church. I mean, when people come in are broken, they're damaged, we don't know that all about them, but just your peaceful spirit, sitting with them, talking to them, just that sweetness you got, it's gonna break in these areas. It's gonna bring healing into a lot of these women that come to the church. So don't try to change who you are. Let God use who you are, because God's gonna begin to use you to help these broken people that come to the church. You're gonna be like a life reserver to them, you know, like somebody falls out of the boat, you throw them a life jacket. It can be what it is, okay? So don't, you know, don't let the devil get in your mind. I just need to change who I am. I'm this. No, you're exactly who you need to be. And if you let God use that, man, you're going to see. You're probably already seeing it. But I'm not. I'm only here for a couple of days, so I don't know. But just let God use you for who you are, okay? Would you raise your hands? Let's pray for our sister this morning. Father, I pray by the Holy Ghost. God, touch my sister. God, I pray, use her for your glory in a powerful way. God, help her. I pray, God, be a voice, God, to the broken, the damaged. God, I pray, God, bring, let her bring healing and direction, God, to men and women, God, by your glory, God, by your presence, in Jesus' name. Let's give God praise this morning one more time. God, we love you. We praise you this morning. God, we thank you for your hand of grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody here, you came here this morning, you got witness to, somebody told you, hey, that preacher will pray for you. Maybe you're sick in your body, you're going through something, you need my prayer, I'd love to pray for you. You came to church for prayer this morning, that's you, why don't you come up here, I'd love to pray for you. Anybody at all? Okay, we're all good here? Let me tell you, God loves us a lot more than we think he does. Sometimes we're thinking, man, we're just unlovable, we're so bad. That's not how God sees us. Jesus shed his blood, amen, that we can all be right with God, have a relationship with him. So, but what we need to do as believers, amen, and I need to do it more, you need to do it more, let that light shine. Be that believer. Let people see Jesus in you. And I'm telling you what, if we can do that, the city will be one to Jesus pretty quick, amen. That's all I got. Pastor, if you'll come, let's give God the hands your pastor comes this morning. Oh, God, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. We can go and we can leave in peace knowing what Jesus Christ did for us. Isn't it amazing? The power of what God did for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.